lost town. You've been searching for that someone. Yeah, it's me out on the prowl. As you sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Don't get lonely now. Try your whining eyes. I'm just roaming for the moment. Sleaze in my backyard, so don't get so uptight. You've been thinking about the gin bag. No time to search the world around, 'cause you know where I'll be found when I come around. I heard it all before, so don't knock down my door. I'm a loser and a user, and I don't need no accuser to try and slag me down, because I know I'm right. So go do what you like. Make sure you do it wise. You may find out that your self-doubt means nothing was ever there. You can't go forcing something if it's just not right. No time to search through around, 'cause you know where I'll be found when I come around. When I come around.
Just like a ghost, thick Irish roots and his blonde hair, and he sounds like a Chicago super fan. A music nerd with a collection of CDs from here to there. Yes, Andy Dare is in Chicago, interviewing and barbecuing. It's the end.
Welcome to the Andy Dare Show. I'm your host, Andy, and today it is episode 165, and it is the State of the Union 2016. Every spring, I like to do a State of the Union address for the Andy Dare Show, just letting you know what we're up to, what the Dare Network is up to, all the cool shows we've got on the network, what I'm up to as far as my writing career. I got a little budding writing career. I want to thank the people at Chicagoist.com for including my writing for the last couple months here. And I've been picking up some steam, been having some good, some good content on there. And of course, it doesn't fall too far from the tree. It's about rock and roll and about new albums being released. I will be reading my Iggy Pop review and my Weezer review today on the show. But it's not just about the writing. I want to thank everybody who's checked out the podcast here at Dare Network. Just go to the iTunes store and search Andy Dare and it'll come right up. And obviously we've got Jesse Unplugged. It's hosted by Jesse Anderson. He's a really interesting character. We do a monthly show called Jesse Unplugged, documenting his life as the brother of a rock star, an ex-wrestling heel. Just an all-around good guy. Now he's found a new hobby in going to musicals and plays, off-Broadway Chicago shows. So it's something that I've not been too interested in, and he's helping me get turned on to the whole world of Broadway. So yes, I think in the last month or two, he's gone and seen like 6 or 7 or 8 different musicals. And if you want to hear his wrap-up of all the different musicals and concerts that he's gone to, check out Jesse Unplugged. And, yes, he's an interesting guy. We do a monthly show. He lives up there in Evanston, Illinois. I'm over here in Westmont, Illinois, but sometimes we meet up at his parents' place. And it's always a good time. He's got a great sense of humor. He's got an interesting story. We talk all about it in the last episode, called This Is 40. And Jesse just turned 40, and not only did he have a birthday party, he had a full week of birthday parties and a whole week of doing cool things with all the different friends he's met through all the different walks of life he's experienced. And it's an interesting listen. I want you to go to Facebook and like the page. It's just go to Facebook and search Jesse Unplugged. And I want to thank Jesse for being a huge part of Dare Network the last year. In other Dare Network news, I want to thank everybody who has checked out our comedy and music album called Service with a Smile. And you can find that at andydareshow.bandcamp.com. It's got excerpts from the show, the past couple years of the show. It's got me singing songs. I hope you enjoyed my cover of When I Come Around. I am trying to compile an acoustic-based covers album for you guys to be released sometime this summer. And obviously that one will be totally for free because it's all covers. And I just wanted to pick a whole, a diverse selection of songs that you wouldn't think that I'd be a fan of, that might not be totally about the acoustic guitar, but somehow I change it into a song that is totally suitable for acoustic guitar. And I just think that would be a cool thing to have for you guys. But everybody who has purchased Service with a Smile is totally a tip of the cap to the Dare Network and all the hard work we put in here. There's bits with Jack Endino, a legendary grunge music producer. There's stuff with Dave Markey from the guy who directed 1991, The Year Punk Broke. A lot of cool guests. I do a cover of a Guided by Voices song as well. It's basically lighthearted, rock-based comedy entertainment for your brain. And Service with a Smile has been selling great. I just want to thank everybody. It's a quick download, $5 at... You can also find it at andydare.com. That's HQ. That's where you'll find my articles, where you'll find Service with a Smile. You'll find photos. You'll find all my social media. And, of course, you'll find Jay Porks, Jesse Unplugged, Tyler Kale, and The Andy Dare Show, all at andydare.com. And, you're listening to the State of the Union 2016 for The Andy Dare Show. This is a politics-free zone. I get so fed up with getting force-fed all this stuff of Donald Trump is an evil Hitler-like figure, or Donald Trump is an amazing godlike figure. It's basically just Donald Trump in my ear and in my brain 24/7 every time I open my computer or turn on my TV, and just sick of it. So this State of the Union will contain no politics. I do wish you guys to go out and register and vote. That's one thing you can do. But how about you just register and vote and then don't talk about it as much as you've been doing? How about we just stick to what we've been doing and get a hobby and stop being a talking head, stop being a robot, tune out and listen to music. Music is non-political, why I love it. The Andy Dare Show will remain non-political as long as I am the host. And I have a good feeling that Andy Dare will always be the host of the Andy Dare Show. And yes, I would like to read you my article from Chicagoist. This is an album review of Iggy Pop's Post-Pop Depression. And just a really interesting listen. The guy is 68 years old. We lost David Bowie earlier this year. You got to cherish the moments you have with these awesome, early punk rockers that we still have. And the guy looks about 38. So I think we'll have a long time with Iggy Pop. They've been talking that it might be his last. So here is my article, an excerpt from my article from Chicagoist. It's called Iggy Pop Finds Solace on His New, Possibly Last, LP. Published on March 16th, 2016. Written by some doofus named Andy Dare. Iggy Pop, arguably one of the architects of modern punk rock, has always walked the line between aggression and likability. Even when he was rolling around on stage on Broken Glass during the 70s as frontman for the Stooges, you couldn't help but root for the guy. Maybe it was his Motor City humility. He never messed with concept albums or characters like his longtime collaborator David Bowie. He never approached anything close to politics. He was about the party. But when this album was announced out of the blue, weeks after Bowie's passing and a mere months after the Bataclan tragedies in Paris, with the title of Post-Pop Depression, the world was ready for Iggy's darkest album ever. His previous forays into maturity, something the 68-year-old has really only slightly flirted with, like at 1999's Avenue B and 2009's Preliminaires, were stilted, awkward affairs that made the listener crave the Iggy Pop of the Stooges. Post-Pop Depression is the first time since The Idiot that Iggy has created a dark, mature work that remains true to the punk rocker we all fell in love with. This album grew out of a series of text messages early last year between Iggy and Joshua Homme of Queens of the Stone Age. The conversation sparked an artistic collaboration between the two that one can't help but compare to Iggy's days riding shotgun with Bowie. Especially when Iggy and Josh hit the late-night talk show circuit last month, the sight of Iggy next to a tall, red-headed rocker was something familiar. All right, that's just an excerpt. You can find the whole article at andydare.com. Want to thank everybody at chicagoist.com for supporting my creativity and posting my work. So, yes, we'll be right back after a word from our awesome sponsors. This episode of the Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue in Westmont, Illinois. Family-owned and operated since 1997, Uncle Bub's is the real deal barbecue. A family-friendly restaurant open 7 days a week. Also, it's a full-service catering company doing weddings, pig roasts, luau's, grill packages, you name it. They have a friendly, helpful staff that will make sure that your party goes off without a hitch. Call them at 630-493-9000. Visit them at 132 South Cass Avenue in Westmount, Illinois, and UncleBubs.com.
Hey man, I know you like grilling. I know you like getting those dark grill marks on your burgers, fish, chicken. And I know you don't want to just dry your meat out like you're cooking with a hairdryer. Why not get the Man Grate and click through the AndyDareShow.com's banner so we can keep the lights on here at Honeycomb Hideout Studios in gorgeous Westmont, Illinois. The Man Grate.
This episode of the Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Record Utopia, a music lover's dream with thousands of vinyl records, musical instruments, and sound gear. They buy, sell, and trade. Give them a call at 630-963-1957. Visit them in Westmont, Illinois at 309 West Ogden Avenue, on the web at recordutopia.com. It's always a good, relaxed atmosphere. Check them out, Record Utopia. And we are back. You are listening to the State of the Union 2016 for the Andy Dare Show. I'm your host, Andy. I want to thank everybody for riding shotgun with us the past 5 years that we've been doing the Andy Dare Show. I started off doing this just as a whim, a little side project, a little 15-minute blurb, just my voice on a microphone, no frills, no sponsors, no nothing, not even a real website. I was just putting it up on Podbean, and it started in February 2011, and I slowly built it up, and we got Lynette Carolla as my first guest, and she really helped, lay down a foundation of listeners that I hope has grown. It has grown, actually, since 2011. I mean, it has to have grown since we started with, like, five listeners. So now that we've got a nice handful of listeners, I want to thank everybody who's gone to iTunes, searched Andy Dare, and subscribed to our iTunes feed. And as I've been going on this show, you don't only get my show, you get Jesse Unplugged, and then you get this guy. Real original character out of Staten Island, New York, Jay Porks, with his Jay Porks podcast. I met him through after I interviewed, or just trying to get an interview with the Meat Puppets. I talked to Jay Porks. He was their social media guy. He gave me their email. He got me in touch with Chris Kirkwood, yada, 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 as they say in New York. And I realized, hey, this guy's funny too. This guy's got a bunch of funny stories. Then he guested on my show. Then I did the thing of, wow, you're pretty good. Why don't you do a show? And it was just kind of a little seed of an idea. And then, a couple months later, he's like, why not? Why shouldn't I do a show? I've got my own stories. I've got my own humor. It's just a good time. The Jay Porks podcast. So he started that in 2013. And you know, fast forward to 2016, he's 119 episodes deep of the Jay Porks podcast. You can find it on my iTunes feed and highly recommended. And yeah, the first 100 episodes, those were also works in progress as well. I mean, hard to hear him through the mic he had. He didn't, I think he was just talking into his laptop. Then a listener and a friend of his splurged and got him a nice microphone. He sounds like butter. He sounds great. He's better than ever. He's been doing a weekly show on Dare Network since 2013. I want to thank him from the bottom of my heart for being such a big part of Dare Network and the Jay Porks podcast. Follow him at Jay Porks. And if you want his HQ, go right over to jayporks.com. He talks a lot about server problems. You know, he's been a waiter in New York City for a long time. Trials and tribulations of being a server at a pizza joint in New York City, but also filled with humor and levity, and it's just a really funny show. And also, he does a lot of concert confessions, which is a website that he writes for. He goes to a concert, he tries to get up close, he takes pictures, he writes a review. He's been doing that for a long time, and he's got a lot of awesome content on his YouTube page, and it's all up there at jayporks.com. He's also big into the legalization thing, huge fan of the pot, and looking like in 2016, we're towards a progressive society where that will not be a big deal anymore come 2 or 3 years from now. And yes, check out the Jay Porks podcast. He is social media guy for the Meat Puppets. He's been a big friend of the show for the last couple years. Got me into the Meat Puppets Soul Asylum show last summer. And yes, I just look forward to, you know, another 119 shows from the Jay Porks podcast. And I just hope everybody goes and pushes the follow button on Twitter for Jay Porks after hearing this little blurb. So, yeah, we'll be right back, and I will read you my Weezer article. Here is actually a little station ID from Jay Porks.
Hey, yo, Jay Porks here. I know you're keeping it locked to the Dare Network for all your podcast needs, whether that's the Andy Dare Show, the Tyler Kale Show, Jesse Unplugged, or the smooth, sultry tones of me, the Jay Porks podcast. You keep it locked to andydarer.com all throughout 2016 for all the luscious podcast action.
And we are back. And I thought I would wrap this show up by reading you my latest Chicagoist.com article. This time it's about Weezer and their 10th album. Guess what they called it? It's another self-titled album by Weezer. And this one is dubbed The White Album. And, yeah, it's called On Weezer's Summary New Album. The band's biggest influence is themselves. Published April 1st, 2016. The bleached-out beach scene on the cover of the 10th Weezer album leaves us with a dilemma. Weezer mastermind Rivers Cuomo gave up his intense soul-searching emo rock after the second Weezer album Pinkerton flopped in 1996. However, the band's last album, Everything Will Be All Right in the End, found Cuomo revisiting the darkness of that era for the best Weezer album in a decade. Does this serene beach vista, complete with a dude using a metal detector and ladies sunning, signal a content middle-aged Cuomo happy to go through the Beverly Hills motions and return to the vapid mall punk the band treaded on for most of the aughts? The answer is yes and no. The fourth self-titled Weezer, dubbed the White Album, finds Cuomo and company relaxed and self-assured as they tackle 10 songs that all sound like a quiet homage to Brian Wilson's ideal California. The production, courtesy of a relatively new name, Jack Sinclair, is a detailed cinematic backdrop for Cuomo's best and tightest set of songs in years. All soaring choruses and huge guitar solos, the band sounds like the confident unit that only 25 years on the road can yield. While Sinclair made his name with 5 Seconds of Summer, the White Album thankfully doesn't try to make any concessions to current pop radio while making every concession to pop radio of 1978. Only Jacked Up with its pounding keyboard riff and soulful vocals sound anything that could like anything that could be found on a current pop station. The pop music of the Beach Boys, Big Star, and Teenage Fan Club are more of what the guys are going for here. All right, that's just an excerpt from my latest Chicagoist.com article, Love Weezer. That was my first cassette in February 1995, and now they're on their 10th album. Saw them live last summer. I've seen them live a couple times now. And what can you say about Weezer? Totally original, totally cool. They've had their ups and downs, but they've stayed original and stayed fresh. And Rivers Cuomo is probably in my top five songwriters of all time for my life and personal. But yeah, this is the State of the Union 2016. And just want to shout out the Spin Class Podcast. You can find that at spinclasspodcast.com. That's my show with Tyler Kale. In a bit of a hiatus right now, we lost one of the episodes and some of the audio didn't work for the latest one. But it's our us tackling a classic hip-hop album of the 80s and 90s. And, yeah, we've got about 7 or 8 episodes over there, and it's always at the Dare Network feed on iTunes, so you can't miss it. Tyler Kale's a great guy, been a friend of the show since the beginning, pretty much, and met him through the whole Corolla universe. And, yeah, Spin Class Podcast, check out Tyler Kale, check out us dissecting a classic hip-hop album every month. And that about does it for State of the Union 2016. Want to thank everybody who's subscribed to the iTunes feed, who's checked us out on social media. But instead of giving you a whole bunch of links to check out, why not just go to HQAndyDare.com. There you'll find the podcast, you'll find the articles, you'll find social media, you'll find a bunch of other stuff that I don't even get to on the show. I try to update that daily. So AndyDare.com for all your Dare Network needs. And I want to thank Jesse, Jay, Tyler. I want to thank everybody who's listened. I want to thank our awesome sponsors, Uncle Bub's Barbecue, Record Utopia, Amazon, and The Man Grate. And I want to end the show here, but I'm going to also give you a little bit of bonus content. How about we flash you back to February 2011 and give you episode 2 of The Andy Dare Show. Here is episode 2 of The Andy Dare Show after the credits roll. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a presentation of The Andy Dare Show and Dare Network. Copyright 2016. All rights reserved. Thank you so much for listening, and please do check out AndyDare.com for more info.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the second episode of my mini musical show called The Andy Dare Show. I'm your host, Andy Dare, and today we are going to be bringing you the top five favorite albums of the 80s, according to the namesake of the show, Andy Dare. All right, to get into it, also you can follow me at Andy Dare, that's AndyDerer. Find me on Facebook and all that goodness, and you can always give me your top fives. Yeah, the night before the show, I will always be putting a message out asking for your lists, because I will be reading them on the show, and I just like to, you know, talk about music with people. So it's very interesting when you can just put something out there and have people write back to you. It's interesting. So we got a lot to talk about this episode. As always, you can find me on the Fleecast, and this episode, as well as every episode, will be sponsored in part by the Fleecast. It's a comedy-centric music podcast located in the West Loop of Chicago, and it features me, Ryan Trembath, and Drew Trilla, as well as producer Adam Bennett. And we do a weekly show, a lot of funny jokes going on over there, a lot of great guests. This week we actually had a great opportunity to have Giovanni Giorgio, a.k.a. Adam Carolla's super fan and archivist. And we had him in the studio, actually. We did a nice, I think, hour-plus show. Talked about a whole bunch of stuff, run the gamut from talk about Scientology to music talk to what's big on TV now. And then we closed it off by talking a little bit about his podcast, the GIO podcast, the Get It On podcast, a.k.a. And that show is really interesting. Check it out if you're at all a fan of Adam Carolla, because Giovanni has single-handedly found a whole bunch of the old Loveline tapes from ranging back from 10, 15 years ago from when Adam Carolla started in 95 with him. And he's cut them up into thematic episodes and made it really user-friendly for anybody who wants to get back into those episodes and obviously can't find it on iTunes or any of the new stuff like that. So it's a great podcast. Check it out at giopodcast.com. All All right, let's get into it. So we are covering the top five favorite albums of the 80s, according to Andy. And I got my number five right now. It's a little Irish band called U2 with the Joshua Tree. Came out in 1987 on Island Records. And this is really when U2 definitely exploded into an arena act all across the world. Had a really magnificent production job, in part with Brian Eno and Daniel Lanois, who actually worked with Neil Young on his latest record. Definitely very interesting, large-scope-sounding record, meant to be played in big places, not small little clubs. Very powerful song arrangements, even though it might be a little too large-reaching as far as trying to become the most important band in the world. They definitely succeeded in creating a nice balance of real catchy songs that sound important with groundbreaking production of its time. Definitely didn't sound like a lot of the pop records that were coming out in 1987. It came out on its own with its own sound, with its own large-scale epicness, and it still rings true to today with bands like Arcade Fire. Without the Joshua Tree, they would definitely still sound like independent bands. But now a lot of bands are really trying to go for the big scope, trying to go for the large venues. And this is definitely one of those albums that struck a chord with a lot of people all around the world, trying to make political changes and stuff like that. I know it's not very important to me right now as far as being political in rock bands, but at that point, it sounded like we needed it, like the world needed it. So that was very important at the time. And with excellent sounding guitar from, obviously, The Edge, a legend, who his sustained notes really just catapulted them and really fit well with the stadium sound. So they had connected with their audience, hit it out the park for this one. And by the time they came back in the early 90s with their next record, Achtung Baby, they would be already starting to experiment with club sounds, with dance beats, stuff like that, and would slowly get away from their, you know, epic arena rock sound that they captured on The Joshua Tree. I think it had something like 5 hit singles, videos, back when videos meant something, you know, with U2 playing out on the roof of one of the buildings with people just watching in the streets. With or Without Me, a huge hit, and I think Eno definitely had a big hand in creating these, not too synthy, but it definitely experimental sounds mixed with these pop ballads and pop songs that they had written. But so my number five is U2, The Joshua Tree. Go check it out if you haven't, or if you probably weren't even born when it came out. Next I got my number four. Little band called The Talking Heads with Remain in Light. This came all the way back in the beginning of the decade, 1980. And once again, featured production work by Brian Eno. He would obviously have a huge hand in creating justifiable pop music in the 80s and really critically successful, real deep-reaching, epically produced albums. Remain in Light is definitely one of those. And The Talking Heads prior to this were more of a club band, kind of a hipster act, a precursor to New Wave, you could even say. But with this, they started, I think it was the album before, Fear of Music, is when they started with becoming more, a little bit multi-rhythm, becoming more experimental with their beats and use of percussion. And when Remain in Light came out, it sounded like no band that had become before it, or it sounded like no other Talking Heads record. David Byrne he must have been listening to a lot of African music before this, because they definitely didn't sound like they were from New York anymore. You know, they were a completely different entity than what they had started when it was just about 4 years before this. So they had come not full circle, but a 180 from the band that had started. Talking Heads Remain in Light is my number four. Features one of their biggest hits, if not the biggest hit, Once in a Lifetime. And the sound that they created on this 1980 album would definitely be used and used and used again throughout the decade of the 80s and would make them legends in their own time. Too bad that the band would only last for another 10 years and then call it quits, slowly becoming more pop as the years went on towards the 80s and a little bit less experimental. But Remain in Light is when they had everything right, and Talking Heads' Remain in Light is my number 4 album. Well, if you haven't been by the website lately, the website is theandyderershow.podbean.com. So go check it out. Got a lot of videos. Got obviously have all the podcast episodes, or the first two that I will have up. I got a video of me working at Uncle Bub's Barbecue in Westmont, talking about the family business there. I've also got a video of one of my first bands, Pen Cap Chew, playing a show in 1996 in Clarendon Hills at the Lions Park Pool with an introduction by a radio legend, Dick Biondi. I've also just put up a video that's in part with the Fleecast. It's Bryce McDonough calling in and leaving a voicemail to the Fleecast. I don't want to say anything more about it, just that it is a very mysterious phone call and that you should check it out. The guy is a 22-year-old Bobcat sales rep who sings sad country waltzes on a Saturday night behind chicken wire. So please do check these out. Stop by the website. If you don't have iTunes, obviously you can come by the website and just stream the episodes. The website is, once again, theandyderershow.podbean.com. And thanks again for listening. And obviously you can follow me on Twitter at Andy Derer, A-N-D-Y-D-E-R-E-R. And also check me out on Facebook. We'll have exclusive content on all these websites, so it helps just to keep in touch with me. So my number 3 release. We are up to number 3 with the 5 favorite albums of the 1980s, according to myself. Number 3 is Prince with the soundtrack to Purple Rain. Came out in 1984. Prince really captured the essence of the 80s in one album with Purple Rain. Also creating a movie and the soundtrack to go along with it. It was no mere soundtrack, though. It was probably his tightest, most compact album that he has ever released. And I think it had 9 songs and it had 6 hit singles. So that ratio is pretty high. That batting average is pretty high, obviously. And it's with him, his band The Revolution, a real self-recorded sound. But, however, these were pop songs meant to play to the whole nation, the whole world, and really struck a chord with the 80s, with the MTV generation. Yeah, I've seen the movie lately, and it doesn't really hold up one-tenth as well as the album does. The album sounds like it's something that they will be listening to 50 years from now. The movie, I don't know as much. The movie has a lot of scenes where it's just very melancholy, emotional. You know, just looking at himself in the mirror and having like a sad look upon his face. However, the music is vibrant and energetic and catches many different styles of black music, or not only black music, but of just rock, of all sorts of different Euro sounds that he was experimenting with in 1984. And I think it's his tightest, most concise album that he's released in his storied 30 years. And I think he's probably had about 50 or 60 albums, so that's saying something. So number 3, we had Prince, Purple Rain. Go check it out. I wouldn't check out the movie. I would just stick with the soundtrack. It's got 9 classics on it. Go check it out. Brings us to our number 2 album of the 1980s, the Reagan era. The Chicago Bears Super Bowl era. All right, I got number 2 is Guns N' Roses with Appetite for Destruction, 1987, on Geffen Records. What can you say about Appetite for Destruction? I think it is probably the best hard rock album ever released. Song for song, pound for pound, this is the strongest hard rock album. I think it totally demolishes Back in Black by AC/DC. Has more range than that. Has more emotions, yet it is just as hard or just as strong sounding as any of the hard rock records that had come before it. And as far as stuff in the 90s, it's a little bit more dangerous than stuff in the 90s. A little bit less PC, a little bit less you know, college friendly. This was definitely raw, angry, energetic, hard rock. Not quite metal, more hard rock for the leather crowd or just for, you know, bar music, kind of just loud and destructive. Yet this as well had about four or five hit singles. It catapulted Slash to superstardom with his guitar style and made Axl Rose a household name to people. Even though they would not get along to release two more albums, they only would release one more as a group, 1991's Use Your Illusion. Appetite for Destruction found them at the crossroads of becoming the biggest hard rock band in the 80s, and the most important, too. Axl Rose's rock star-like behavior would be completely suitable for this set of music that he released. And obviously, being such a hard-to-deal-with rock star, they could only catch lightning in a bottle for so long. This would obviously not last so long, as much as 4 or 5 years, until band members would start leaving, start complaining, people would get arrested, people would start getting locked up, and the band would be no more after 1993. Until they came back years and years later. But that doesn't count. This is the original Guns N' Roses 1987 sound, Appetite for Destruction. Check out Sweet Child of Mine if you haven't. If you haven't heard that, then you really haven't heard rock music. So that was my number two selection, Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction. All right, I got to give a shout-out once more to my podcast and the sponsor of the Andy Dare Show, The Fleecast. Basically a comedy-centric music podcast taped weekly, not in front of a live audience, in front of ourselves in our practice space at the Music Garage, Chicago. We've had many storied guests. Already in season three, we've only had 4 episodes, but we've already been able to get a music legend, a recording legend, Steve Albini. He's worked with the Stooges, worked with Nirvana, has his own bands, Big Black and Shellac, and Rape Man, and owns his own studio, Electrical Audio, downtown, and invited us over there, and we got to pick his brain for over an hour, and that episode is up. That is episode 301 of the Fleecast, and I was just telling you, last week we got the chance to interview Adam Carolla, superfan and archivist, Giovanni Giorgio. We had him actually at the Music Garage, and we totally discussed everything about the Ace Broadcasting Network, everything that's going on in his life. Definitely check out that interview. That is 304. And where you can find all this is the Fleecast official website is thefleecast.podbean.com. You can follow them at Fleecast, FLEACAST, and you can like them on their Facebook as well. That's facebook.com/Fleecast. So this brings me to my number one album of the 1980s, according to Andy Dare. Obviously, there's only one album that you can really think of about the 80s. Man just passed away last year or two, a year and a half ago. It is Michael Jackson with Thriller, 1982. Thriller is the album of the 80s, hands down. No one can argue it, unless you're some, you know, DIY punk guy who never listened to pop music. You have to give it props. Quincy Jones and Michael Jackson created a masterpiece, a 9-song opus that would capture everyone's imagination, capture everyone's emotions at the same time, make something that's bigger than a genre, bigger than rock, bigger than pop or R&B, a song, an important song that will be sung and listened to for, I'd say, hundreds and hundreds of years from now. It'll be passed on from generation to generation, and it won't be looked at as a pop album, won't be looked at as a rock or a soul album or an R&B album, dance album. No, it'll be listened to just as an album, as a time capsule back to 1982, back when MTV was everything, back when club music was really taking over, back when people still respected new wave music, people still respected going in between genres and borrowing from different sources and coming up with something timeless. Thriller is by far his best album, as well as the whole decade of the 1980s. Quincy Jones's production style
would never hit the apex that it hit on this magical album that will forever be listened to by generations and generations. Once again, I think it's definitely something of the 80s, is that it didn't have a lot of tracks, only, I think, 9 songs on there, yet most of them are hits, and most of them are classics. So there was always a high slugging percentage with these albums, not a lot of filler, not a lot of space between all the hits. So that's why you really got to check out all 5 of these records. I mean, kids, I think that a lot of young kids, you know, junior high school kids these days, don't really respect these old albums. They just respect what's big on Facebook right now, what the kids are listening to. I mean, MTV doesn't even play videos anymore, so I'm not quite sure how they get to find the new music. Hopefully it's something like Pitchfork.com, which is how I've been introduced to many new bands that are coming up that are more my age, that are still young bands but are on the cutting edge. You can check them out at Pitchfork.com. I also check out a lot of stuff on allmusic.com that gives reviews, and it's been going on for a long time. So they have books released. They have a whole bunch of thousands and thousands of record reviews and great suggestions as far as if you like this album, then you might like that. And that's what I hopefully want to turn this show into, just a way to spread the news about certain bands, spread the news about old music, try to get new generations into older music, and try to get older generations into new music. So it's going to go both ways, cross-pollinate that way. So my number one selection, obviously, Michael Jackson, Thriller. Go get it. Don't be talking about how the 80s was full of bad music, because I think it was just as great as any other decade. Just as many hits came out in the 80s as any other decade. Sure, there was a lot of bad groups, but you don't have to remember the bad groups. You can go back and just pick what you want to remember about the 80s, and these are my 5 albums. Number 5, U2, The Joshua Tree. Number 4, Talking Heads, Remain in Light. 3, Prince, Purple Rain. 2, Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction. And number 1, Michael Jackson with Thriller. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this little mini episode. This is the Andy Dare Show. Check us out every week. I'm going to try to be posting them every Saturday. The Andy Dare Show is sponsored in part by the Fleecast. Go check them out if you haven't already. And, you know, you can always follow me on Twitter at Andy Dare, A-N-D-Y-D-E-R-E-R. Find me on Facebook. Check us out. Look at all the YouTube videos. Come by the website. We always enjoy talking to people that have listened. And until next time, this is Andy Dare, thanking you so much for listening.